Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast, which is entitled Confession of a Conspiracy Theorist. Over the past few years, I have endured being labeled as a conspiracy theorist by some, even people I consider friends, because I have openly shared my belief that the so-called mRNA vaccine is dangerous, and that eventually Trump will be restored to office, and not through the traditional voting process. It became clear to me that holding such positions put me outside the realm of respectability in some circles, and even perhaps made me a false prophet. The warning about the mRNA jab was based on sound reasoning and research. The reason it was considered foolish was because big medicine, big tech, the government, and the mainstream media all sounded a unified chorus assuring us that it was both safe and effective, both of which now have been disproved. It is not effective or safe. The eventual damage to the health of those who receive the jab is yet to be seen. We are witnessing an erosion in trust in what have been the great institutions in our society that have held us together. The presidency, our legislatures, the voting system, the medical system, the Supreme Court, etc. What is left to us now? We have been fed such a stream of lies by the media that many throw up their hands in complete confusion and demoralization, believing that now truth is nowhere to be found. Society has accepted the mantra that truth is subjective and we must find our, quote, own truth, end of quote. Paradoxically, this turn of events has set the stage for a great return to God. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6, is still the answer. When everything around us is shaking and falling, we can run to the rock that will hold strong, Hebrews 12:27. My belief that Trump will be restored is based on prophetic revelation and a deep gut instinct, which are much more subjective and put me and others much farther out on a limb of our own making. The jury is still out on this conviction, and I will grant you that it is taking much longer than I ever expected. I also realize that I could be wrong, and if so, I am prepared to accept the consequences of my error. However, I am also prepared to be right. Sometimes we must stand up for what we believe, even if it makes us look foolish. Playing it safe is not always the best option. For years, many of us have been praying that God would uncover the hidden evil at work in our government and bring it to justice. No one I know had any inkling how deep, wide, and pervasive the corruption really was. It is still coming to light. Sometimes when we ask God to do something, when he begins to answer our prayers, we think it is the work of the devil. What we are seeing unfold before us on the world stage is God's answer to our prayers. He is uncovering evil and will bring it to justice. I suppose this belief also qualifies me as a conspiracy theorist. Another conspiracy, I believe, is Romans 8:28. God is working everything out for good in the lives of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Nothing life or the devil can throw at us will ultimately bring us harm. God will always work it for good. The Bible teaches that God is the sovereign Lord over his creation, working all things out according to his master plan, Daniel 4:35. That is another conspiracy that even some Christians do not seem to believe. The sovereignty of God is one of the most important foundational truths in the Bible. I have noticed that many of my Christian brothers and sisters desire to be considered wise by others. They are hesitant to accept anything that seems to be too far right or left. They try to take the middle section of the road. They are afraid of being labeled as a fool. They want to have the good opinion of other moderates in the church and in the world, thinking somehow that will make them a more credible witness for Christ. This is a great deception, in my opinion. The Christian faith is founded on one of the world's greatest, quote, conspiracy theories, end of quote, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. After Jesus' death and burial, what was then the Jewish, quote, deep state, end of quote, spread the lie that the disciples stole his body in order to be able to say that he rose again from the dead, Matthew 28:13. You have to admit that the Jews' version of events is much more plausible than ours. It is completely outlandish to believe that the founder of our faith died and rose again. Yet, that is exactly what we unashamedly believe and confess, making us to appear to be fools to a skeptical world. 1 Corinthians 1:23-25 reads, "So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say, 'It's all nonsense.' But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest human strength." That's from the New Living Translation. We also believe such things as that the Bible is inerrantly true. God created the world. Adam and Eve were the first humans. Noah survived the flood in an ark. Jonah spent 3 days and nights alive inside a great fish. And one day, Jesus will come again in the clouds with great glory as Lord of Lords, to raise the dead and judge all humanity. Not one of these things seems reasonable to the modern world. As long as we do not openly declare our faith in these things in public places, but instead confine these confessions to church meetings, the world tolerates us. However, when we publicly pronounce that we hold such things to be true and others should believe likewise, we are told that this is foolish, dangerous, and unwelcome. The world does not tolerate the news that Jesus is Lord of all any more than it tolerated the news that the mRNA jab should be avoided. Could it be that we are afraid of being labeled as conspiracy theorists because we have not come to terms with the outlandishness of the gospel? Do we really think that it is reasonable in the world's eyes to believe that Jesus is Lord? Now, don't get me wrong. I am not equating the gospel with the belief that the mRNA jab is dangerous or that Trump is coming back. Far from it. However, the gospel is every bit as far-fetched in the minds of many as the other two positions. I have to confess that once I discern that someone is closed or antagonistic to information about the jab, I tend to stop sharing with them. I justify this by thinking that I should not throw my pearls before the swine, so to speak. But is this really the reason? Could it be that I am simply afraid to be labeled as a fool by these people or of incurring their displeasure? Could my silence be the reason that some went ahead and took the jab and now must pay whatever health consequences may come? These are heavy thoughts indeed. Likewise, do I go silent about the gospel when I realize that someone is hostile because I am ashamed of Christ or afraid of their displeasure? Could my silence sentence them to an eternity in hell? This is far more serious than worries about health problems from a dangerous jab. We must come to accept that bravely holding on to truth in the face of opposition is part of our calling as people of God. One of the marks of a true disciple is unwavering public allegiance to Christ and to truth in general. Let's break out of our false security of trying to appear wise to the world and embrace the foolishness of the gospel. Let those in the world think of us in any way they see fit. It is far more important what God thinks. He will reward our faith and allegiance to our Lord Jesus and to the truth. I'll close by quoting from John 8:31 and 32, the New Living Translation. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Thank you for listening.